It's the holiday season, which can be crazy stressful for families of people with disabilities, but we have some tips for you mall Santas, which can make life easier for everybody. Don't miss this on Driven by Purpose.
This is Driven by Purpose, a show about finding your purpose, building fulfilling careers, and helping people with disabilities live better lives. Hosted by three men who've lived it and are here to help you do the same. Special thanks to our presenting sponsor, Clean Logic, a leading bath and skincare company and a true pioneer in creating inclusive workplaces and increasing employment opportunities for people with disabilities.
It's the most stressful time of the year, especially if you have a child in a wheelchair trying to get to the mall with Santa Claus and they don't know how to handle a kid with a disability, but we're going to talk about it on the show. Welcome to Driven by Purpose. What's up, everybody? What's up, everybody? It's another episode of Driven by Purpose. My name is Evan, along with the co-founders of Clean Logic and the Inspiration Foundation, Isaac Shapiro and Mike Gesser. What's going on, fellas?
Hey, Evan, wonderful intro, by the way.
Thank you. You like my singing voice?
It was good.
I think you could be a Christmas caroler.
There was a time I was a child prodigy as a singer.
I don't believe that's a lie.
I was never a prodigy in anything. All right, let's get right into it. It is a stressful time. It is a great time. I love the holidays. I love it. We start listening to Christmas carols before Thanksgiving because we love Christmas. My favorite song in the whole wide world, I swear I'm not joking, is Oh Holy Night by Celine Dion. When she hits the high note, it's like my favorite thing in the entire world. I love it. Big in my house, it's great. Love it. That said, it can be very stressful if you have a family member or friend, somebody close that lives in your home that has a severe disability. You know this, Mike. You know this. Isaac, your mother, visual disability, blind. Mike, you have a daughter in a wheelchair like mine in a wheelchair. And I mean, one of my most frustrating things in the entire world is in the holiday season when you go shopping and everyone's out there, you got kids in strollers, you got other people in wheelchairs. And I know, Mike, you've been in this situation. I know it.
12 years I've been in this situation.
It's like jousting. It's like you're playing chicken with people. We're like, I've got my kid in a wheelchair and someone else has a kid in either a stroller or a wheelchair. And you're trying to like get somewhere and people use their kids or the people in the wheelchair as like, it's like you're NASCARing and you're trying, I got to get to this thing. And I'm using my kid to try to get out in front of you to cut you off. And I'm like, I kind of respect the aggressiveness, but also like you're throwing your kid out there, man. You got to calm down, man. I've been in that situation a million times.
All the time. Even in the grocery store, I run into that kind of thing.
It's so true. Isaac, have you been in that situation with your mom where people like try to cut
just
her off?
That, I mean, or like, forget about it. Even if we had kids, when I go by myself, it's stressful. When I just want to get in and out, I'm like, this is an in and out. So holidays aren't even meant to be in and out because everything is just busy. So like, it's just stressful for me.
Yeah.
Like, I've always kind of felt like Grinch being the business owner where everybody's like, oh, everybody's happy. And I'm like, we're doing budgeting. We're trying to get ready for 2026 and we got holiday parties. And especially when we weren't making money, it's like, oh, we got to go out and get the employees. And, you know, so there's always, it's a lot to take care of. Even one of my favorite things is even sending holiday cards and handwriting. So it's just that extra thing that you try to do. So I think there's just, it's a stressful time in general, but I love this topic. Because again, I had never even thought about it. I've never done a mall Santa experience. So the fact that you two have brought this story, I thought this was great.
Well, that's great. Great point. As we want to talk about, you know, our mission here is to help people, not just people in our community, but allies outside the community that want to try and do better. And one of the most stressful things that can really have the highest reward, if you know how to operate it correctly, is the mall Santa Claus situation. Because every kid wants to go and, you know, tell Santa Claus what they want for the holidays. It's a great moment. And for some situations, it can also be like a highly stressful moment for typical kids and kids with disabilities. It can be like very stressful. I've seen kids with all abilities completely meltdown in front of Santa Claus. Yeah. Like it happens. But I've also seen kids with all abilities like have the most amazing moment with Santa Claus where they talk about like how they want like something that melts your heart and it's incredible and it's a great moment. So what we want to help both the person who is Santa Claus and also the parents and the elves and all the helpers.
Yeah, the support
we
staff.
We want to put everybody in a situation, exactly, to give everybody the opportunity to succeed, right? We want to put everybody in the best possible situation for everybody to have the best holiday experience. So that being said, we've put together like a list of, we have our own Christmas list of tips and pieces of advice for everybody involved in the mall and the home Santa Claus experience. Because we know that like Santa Claus, you know, has all his little helpers. And sometimes Santa Claus appears in the mall. Sometimes other Santa Claus helpers appear in like homes.
On fire and, trucks. Fire trucks.
Fire
too.
Trucks. And all these different places. And no matter where you see Santa Claus, we want the experience to be great for people of all abilities. So we're going to start off by saying, look, if Santa Claus is at the mall and there is a line and you have a child that's in a wheelchair, how should one, if you see a person in a wheelchair, how should mall Santa Claus and mall Santa Claus's little helpers, what's the right way to approach somebody to handle a situation where a person is in a wheelchair coming up to meet mall Santa Claus, Mike?
It's a very good question. I think the answer kind of depends on the size of the kid in the wheelchair. I think obviously the smaller the child, the easier it is to kind of maneuver them around. But I think there's also what's important is to let Santa Claus and the elves know, are there anything they need to be aware of? Like, can, for example, like my daughter has always been able to support herself kind of and sit up, for example. I remember early on when she was younger, we didn't really, there weren't many instructions. There was just watch your beard or watch your hair, because my daughter likes to grab hair when she's in certain stressful situations. We know she likes a situation when, is she grabbing for something or is she not? And so we would always say, you know, here, this is our daughter, Rosie. She's disabled. She, you know, be careful. She likes to grab your hair. Some Santa Clauses were like, oh, ho, 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 no problem. I'll watch out. So it's kind of, it just depended. And as she got older, we could tell there was more, she liked it less and it was more uncomfortable for her. So we gradually decided we're not going to put her on Santa's lap, even though she's still able to do that. But I think what we found worked all the time when we were doing it was being open and honest and informing the elves and Santa, here's the situation, here's what's going on. And fortunately, everybody was open and really just wanted to make her happy. I think people get into that job, I think there's many reasons, but partially because they want to bring smiles to children's faces. And I've never seen a situation where someone says, sorry, I can't, you know, let you sit on Santa's lap and take a picture and tell him what he wants. But communication, always communication.
So it sounds like tip number one is communication.
Communication.
And on both sides. And I guess my follow-up question to that is, if you are working for Santa in that capacity, how would you like to be approached by somebody on Santa's staff? Would you like to be approached by somebody saying like, hey, we're so happy to have you here today. How can we assist your child to make this a great experience?
Yeah. So
is that the right way to approach?
I think that if someone came up to me and said that, seeing my daughter in a wheelchair, I'd say 100%, like, that's the greatest way to do it. Or does she need any special assistance? Is there anything we can do to make this experience better or we should know about? Like, questions are the greatest thing ever when it comes to that. I think in general, if people would ask more questions, it would make any situation easier, not for just for the child, but for the parents and for everybody around. You can never go wrong with asking questions.
Right. I would also say that there are some situations where Santa Claus is unable. Like, my daughter is about 50 pounds now. Last year we went to see a Santa Claus, and this particular Santa Claus was a frail elderly Santa Claus. And Santa's helpers made it clear that in this particular case, Santa wasn't in the proper shape to have children of a certain size on his lap. And it wasn't anything against, you know, my daughter. It was just like, hey, she's a big lady. And, you know, in this particular case, maybe it's not, you know, a great thing to have her on lap. That's okay. So all the kids went and sat next to Santa Claus, and Sydney was in her chair, and the other kids sat next to Santa too. And it was totally fine. And it didn't make Sydney feel different or anything else. All the kids sat next to Santa together, and it was totally, totally fine.
It wasn't now, due to disability. It was due to size.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay.
And it was explained that way and communicated that way. Again, communication is such an important part of it. And so we didn't think like, oh, you guys just don't want to go, you guys are discriminating because she's in a chair. No, it was like, okay, we totally get it. Like Santa Claus is an older guy here and he doesn't want heavier kids on his lap. Totally get it. Sounds great. We'll put Sydney next to her in the chair and all the other kids next to her and sitting down. Totally fine. Makes total sense. We'll accommodate. Sounds great. I think one of the things that we don't want to be told, we don't want to be the wrong way to talk to a family that has somebody with a disability is you kind of don't want to be like told things, right? Like you don't want somebody to come up to you, an elf, and say like, oh, she's in a chair, so she won't be able to do this, 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 and this. Because then that kind of puts you on the defensive and it makes you feel less than from the start. So that would be another piece of advice for Santa and his team or her team at a mall.
Yeah.
Is your approach is so important and you're already dealing with stressed out people, stressed out families. You want to make it as normal as possible. So don't tell a family what they can't do. Approach with kindness, approach with communication, approach with questions like Mike was saying, but don't start the conversation by telling us like what you can't do right off the bat. Kind of puts us in a defensive position right away.
Yeah, I think it doesn't cost anything to try to walk in somebody else's shoes. And again, I think it goes a long way just asking simple questions. What can we do to make this work? Or what are the special requests or in order to make it happen? And, you know, 9 times out of 10, I can't imagine them not being able to do something. Obviously, your Santa was a little old and frail, and I certainly wouldn't put my daughter, who's 100 pounds, on an old, frail Santa's lap. We'd have a big problem. But yeah. It starts with questions and communication.
Let me ask you another question. How do you feel about Santa specifically asking you in front of your daughter, can she talk? Can she understand in front of your daughter? How does that make you feel? And what's your advice on how to handle
it's
that?
It's a very interesting question. I think now, especially as my daughter's older and I know what her abilities are, not everybody is as familiar with my daughter or people with disabilities as I am or as you are. And I think it doesn't make me feel uncomfortable because they don't know, right? I sometimes find myself answering the question. And what I try to train myself to do more is direct them to, you can ask her or she understands, you can speak directly to her, but she's non-speaking and can't answer you back. It doesn't really bother me simply because they don't know. But that's my opportunity to guide them, if that makes sense. How do you feel about that?
Right. A little different, but that's okay. I feel a little different. I think that, you know, for Sydney, you know, and our daughters are different. I think for Sydney, you know, I get sensitive when people ask those questions in front of her, because I feel like we're getting to the age now where I know this is more a reflection on me and my feelings than it is Sydney and her feelings, but I just feel like the more that people ask that in front of her, it starts to bother me more. And I wish that they wouldn't. I wish they would ask her, like, they see the device and they see her. I wish they would give her a chance to answer that question before they would turn to me. I know that she appears differently, but I wish they would ask her a question first, like, hi, little girl. And Sydney would say, hi. And then they'd be like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
She responds, and then they could just figure it out. Or a different way is, you know, if one of the elves or whatever in the communication component that we talked about before, if they talk and they say, if they ask the questions that you were bringing up before, like, hey, is there anything we should know? How can we make this special? I would be more than happy to say she's nonverbal, but she understands anything, everything. And my advice to Santa Claus is to ask her yes or no questions and she can respond yes or no.
Yeah.
And that way she can have a great experience without having to ask, does she understand in front of her?
Right.
I have a question, just because when we brought up this topic and we were putting it together, you know, we talked about not just the mall Santas. We talked about the busyness during the holidays and the mall in general and even stores. But I'm very intrigued by this because I've even heard stories from, you know, family members, like they've had that, like my daughter, we don't want a Disney cruise. She would see, saw Mickey Mouse and screamed and yelled at him. And so I'm sure there's a Santa experience, the same piece, but how is the experience around taking photos? Like, I know I see a lot of the photo taking experience. So can you guys get into like, what's that component? Because I also want to make sure we talk about some of the other things around the holiday season. But I'd love to know more about how the photo experience goes. I know that's a big part of it.
So my younger two daughters love it. It's great. They're so into Santa. It's all good. No problems. But, you know, early on, we figured out Rosie just didn't love it. I don't know, you know, if it was Santa strange or something like that. But it was really, I found the humor in it. Again, my daughter likes to, she has a reaction where she just grabs people's hair in stressful situations. And it's not to hurt people. It's not, she doesn't pull it. She just grabs it. And there were several years where we'd put her on Santa's lap. She'd be fine. And 2 seconds later, she's fast. She's super fast, which is amazing. And awesome. She would just grab Santa's beard or grab Santa's hair or grab Santa's hat. And so we realized quickly that, you know, we had to figure out ways to like prevent her arms from like, you know, going tall, you know, raising up, or we'd tell Santa, like, it's okay if you hold her arm, she might reach up to grab your beard. And, you know, so it was funny because never really do you see a kid pull Santa's beard, except maybe in a comedy movie or a TV show, but that was my kid that did it. So like, I got chuckles out of it.
She's got the death grip.
You got to pry her fingers off. It was fun. It was funny. I'm sure Santa didn't like it, but every Santa was cool, very cool about it. And then we just realized maybe it's not for her. And, that was it.
To your original point, Mike, I think that the people who get into this business, the majority of them, I mean, look, there's exceptions to every rule, but I do feel like the majority of people who are there, they're not there to make your lives harder. They're there because they're there. They want to make people happy. Yeah. They want to make kids happy. Yeah. And they're listening and they're figuring out ways. How can we make this an enjoyable experience to everybody? Even when things kind of go sideways and your kid grabs a beard, which is just a funny thing that happens. And I feel like part of Santa training is that like they learn how to deal with that.
Right, there's kids that freak out, you know? Well,
yeah.
They got to know how to deal with
that. I
got
another great question for you guys. Right. Just kind of transitioning here a little bit.
Sure.
What's one of the traditions you've had to change or drop because of limitations? You know, we talked about how busy. So is there something that you guys have had to change because of just the busyness?
Traveling is a thing. I mean, airports, especially when it's busy, traveling is already hard enough, right? I mean, with a wheelchair, we had our episode where we talked about traveling and all that stuff. It's challenging. So, you know, we try to spend our holidays at homes. And the reality of it is not every home that we go to, even our closest friends and families are accessible for our kids. And unfortunately, that means a lot of it falls on us or my parents. My parents have a home that's pretty accessible. So it falls on us or my parents to kind of host the holidays, which means that my brothers and sisters usually get a pass. But, you know, I mean, that's the part. And I appreciate everybody for being so accommodating. But that's just the reality of it is being, and we have to all keep that into perspective and we remind everybody. And I have a really understanding family, and thank you to everybody that's watching this right now for being so accommodating in that sense, because the holidays are stressful. And this is, I am acknowledging that this is another layer of added stress to everybody, but the fact that they don't make us feel guilty for that, I appreciate that. And I know that everybody listening doesn't have that support system around that, so I appreciate that. But it's a thing that a lot of families have to deal with kids in wheelchairs and other disabilities. It's stressful to go to places that aren't accommodating to your disability all the time,
which is most,
which is a lot. And especially for these important things, you want to see your family. You want your kids to be around family for the holidays and these important moments. And that is so important. But then you think about, okay, we want to go visit Aunt so-and-so who lives in an apartment that doesn't have an elevator and she lives on the third floor. And you're like, okay, like, how are we going to get there? Like, it's really hard. And you hope that you can get all the help to be able to get there so that you can be together for the holidays. And that happens a lot. And that's so much added stress. But, you know, it's important for families to be together. And you just hope that everybody watching this that's in that situation has a support system to help, you know, them be together for the holiday. It's important. It's hard.
Definitely 100%. Like, I knew early on, like when Rosie was younger, having to travel with like a walker and all of those things, like it was very difficult, especially because we lived in LA and Dana's family is in Philadelphia. So when we'd see them, it was typically over the holidays, which are the worst times of the year to travel. So we powered through it for years. It certainly helps living in Philadelphia now and her family being here. I don't have to deal with that. And we I'm not gonna say never, but we don't have a reason to travel during the busiest times of the year as a family. And if I can avoid it, I will always try to avoid it. Even if I didn't have to travel with her, it's just not my favorite time of the year, but that is extra. But I will say, I'll tell you one interesting thing that we've stopped doing during the holidays. And that I think Rosie being in, like, you needing a wheelchair, that we stopped because of that was actually for her going to a mall and doing shopping. And I would say online shopping has certainly made it so much more easy and less stressful to be able to get everything we need for her from like a clothing aspect or things like that quickly, try it on. You don't have to figure out a dressing room or find an accessible size dressing room. It's all done in the house. So that whole thing, like, shopping for her, clothes shopping, has become so much easier with online shopping. And we just don't have to worry about, you know, going to the mall and figuring it out. And the other thing is, she doesn't like it. She doesn't like going into crowds, or because she can sense, like, she can feel the energy around where she's at. And she's like, get me out of this place. And she's very...
My daughter's the opposite. She loves
chaos. Yeah. So,
we're in it. I mean, she's like, just take me to the mall. It's people watch the...
You guys are in Vegas. One of Rosie's... ago, so it matches her personality.
I know. She loves it.
I'm not going to bring my kid. Well, I don't think she'd like Vegas. But one of the first signs that Rosie ever learned was all done. And in her AAC device, she's got... Every type of phrase that has anything to do with, I don't like this, I don't want to be here, let's go, all done. And like, she would just hit that button over and over and over again, and you can't ignore it. So, all right, we'll get out of here.
Yep.
So she lets us know, and it's never been an issue. It's actually been like, wow, thanks for telling us. Thanks for being so overly communicative. Let's figure out another alternative. And it's all good.
I love it. I love it.
You know, like, what does, you know, success in the holidays look for? Because, like, Evan, you've got the chaos. Like, I believe the mall. I just like to go by myself, but I do like to take the kids. There is that chaos. So what does success, you know, look like outside of us starting the Santa Association, where we can bring all this training and accessibility? Because it sounds like there's got to be knowledge there. Look, I think about our traveling. Yeah. So talk about it.
I hope that, you know, when people go to the mall, and people who have kids of all abilities, they go and they have an experience that, you know, good experience is bad experience, but it doesn't matter the ability. It's just an experience with Santa that any typical kid would have, any kid with a disability would have, that the ability doesn't affect the interaction with Santa Claus. That the only thing that matters when the kid has the interaction with the Santa Claus is what they're asking for the holiday.
Right.
And then whether Santa Claus can deliver or not. But the ability to actually get in front of Santa Claus and interact with Santa Claus, I hope that Santa and his staff and the people who are a part of it can accommodate the kid and the family in a respectful and a good way. And I hope that we were able to help him today, because really it might be a little intimidating if you're not familiar with working with people with disabilities, but it's not that hard if you just, you know, spend a little bit of time over-communicating, talking to people, asking questions, listening. It can be done, and everybody can have a great time. And a little bit of, holiday spirit, talking to people, interacting. It goes such a long way, and you can make a whole day and a whole season for a family. Just a little bit of work. So And by the way, if you're an ally and you're there and you're watching this and you're just, you know, sitting there and you can see there's a situation that maybe isn't going great and you can step in and help out, go for it. Little holiday spirit, man. Help somebody out. Pass it forward. Pay it forward.
100%.
Pass it along.
Maybe,
you know,
as a PSA announcement, we know parking's not easy. Don't use a handicap spot or one more. Yeah, don't
park in a handicap.
Hey, that's a good one, yeah, too.
I've maybe had one or two experiences. I know we got lots, continue to talk about that. But I think that's a big one, is I'm learning that is a thing, and I didn't know that was a thing.
Do you want me to tell my story, Isaac?
What time do we got here? So
I am Captain Handicap. I am the Handicap Parking Avenger, you guys. I am the Avenger. I am the sixth Avenger.
He's Handicap.
This happened again. I am Handicap. Okay, this happened again. My son does martial arts and my daughter loves to watch him and support him when he does martial arts. And the reason he's at this martial arts studio, I should say, is because my daughter was invited to a birthday party there for one of her friends. And when we went and we went in with our wheelchair, they told her, get out of the wheelchair and come on the floor and you're going to participate in this party. And I was like, I love this place already. And we got on the floor and I was helping her out and she was a full participant in this party. And afterwards I was like, my son needs to be a student here. This is the best. These people are amazing.
That's amazing.
And we did, we enrolled him and he's been there for a year and the instructors are amazing and the students are amazing and everybody there is an amazing facility. So we pulled up for class the other day and there was a person in the handicap spot. Fine. So we pulled up in the spot next to it. And as I am getting Sydney out of the back of our handicap accessible van and I'm pulling her out of the ramp in her wheelchair, I noticed that the people in the handicap in the van next to us that were in the handicap space, they get out and they are two typical people. They were half in the handicap spot, half in a typical spot, which made it more difficult for us to park in the typical spot. And they kind of blocked us in. So we had a hard time getting out of the spot to begin with. So I'm struggling to get Sydney out of the spot and it really made it unsafe for us, even more unsafe for us to get out of the spot. So I'm struggling to get Sydney out of our spot. And meanwhile, I noticed that the people in the car next to us got out of their spot. They appear to be two typical people. They get out of their car and they're staring at us as I'm struggling to get Sydney out of a car in a safe manner. And they're staring at us. And so I was just frustrated because I had these people looking at me and I'm like, hey, and there it's a woman and her son appears to be about 8 or 9 years old. And they're just walking around on the sidewalk. And I'm looking at them. I'm like, hey, you know, in the future, if you guys don't need a handicap spot, you know, we could really use it. Because as you can see, like it's a safety issue for us. It's not just, we're trying to be closer to the karate studio, but it's, we don't have space to get her safely out of the car. And I'm trying to explain this in like a calm manner. She responded to me in a way where it was like, you don't need to talk to me about this stuff. You don't understand. It's for my son. Like it's for your son. And her son meanwhile is like, walking back and forth and everything's fine. And I'm like, okay, I don't know. Maybe her son has a disability. I don't know. So I end up getting Sydney out of the car. The two of them walk along in their way and they go into a building. I don't know where they went. So we go into the karate studio. My son starts his karate class. Sydney and I sit on the side, sit in the class, like waiting for the karate class to start. And guess who comes walking out of the bathroom in the karate class?
The lady.
The woman and her son. And the son is dressed in his full karate uniform with his belt on, and he's about to start his 45-minute karate class. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Like this woman who just like condescendingly yelled at me about like when I was trying to tell her, like, I need the spot. It's a safety issue for me. It's a safety issue because I am trying to like get my daughter in a wheelchair out of a car in a parking lot. Because we're in a spot that's unsafe, that's like unfit. It appeared that they used the handicap spot so they could be closer to the karate studio. Yeah. So her son could take a 45-minute martial arts class. My wife's point was like, yeah, but that's not a conversation for you to have. But then my question is, okay, then who's going to have that conversation? I feel like it is a conversation for me to have. It's an uncomfortable conversation, but like if no one else is having these conversations, that spot, I feel like we are the family that needs that spot. We have equipment. And if we are not in a handicapped spot with room specifically to help us get out of the car with our equipment, our safety is at risk in these parking lots.
Yeah.
It is a safety risk for us. We are in danger. And so if I don't call out people and talk to people that don't need that space that are parking in these spots, when there are other spots available, it is putting our safety at risk. It just is. Last thing I want to say before we wrap up, and our closest friends have two kids who have, you know, very not obvious disabilities, who qualify for a handicap placard and who don't use them. And I called my friend up last night and I said, hey, why don't you have a handicap placard in your car? And his response was, this is an exact quote. He said, because I don't want to take him away. I don't want to use it and take away a spot from somebody who needs it. Absolutely. We don't feel like we need it.
That's right.
That was his response. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
That was his response to me. And his kids, one of his kids is a runner. And still, despite that, says, I don't want to use a handicap spot. I can manage it without taking a handicap spot away from somebody else who needs it.
Yep. That's the same with us. Like, if Rosie is not in the car and there's no spots available except one with that's a handicap spot, I'm parking at the back of the lot.
Of course,
You just don't do it. You just don't do it. It's
because the placard belongs to the
integrity. It's, you know, 100%. Some people have it, some people don't, but like there's a, you know, I don't even want to say it's common sense. It's just, it's morals and integrity.
By the way, after the way that this ended is after the class, I got pulled into the principal's office at the karate studio, and the guy who runs the studio pulled me aside and he said, hey, I saw everything that happened. I just want to know we stand behind you 100%. All right, that's going to do it for us here on Driven by Purpose. If you like this episode, please like, subscribe, share, and we'll catch you on next time. We have a great guest coming up on our next episode, so we got to stop so we can get to that person. We will talk to you next time. Driven by Purpose. Subscribe, like, share. You won't regret it. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.